If you have your Bible, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 22, 20 and 21. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is on this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Let's pray. Father, open to us the meaning of your words. Speak to us today, let them speak to us today their timeless message. May all that is spoken this day, Lord, be yours. Amen. There's a story told about a man who had gone on vacation, gone to Washington, D.C., and was looking around, or he was in Washington, D.C., looking around at the different monuments and things. And as he's going past one of them, he hears a woman screaming, and help me, to some effect it was. And he goes running over, and he sees her there, and she's down with her child. And he says, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" She said, "He swallowed a coin, and he's choking, he can't breathe." So the man immediately takes up the child, holds him up by his heels, and gives him a couple of whacks on the back, and out comes a shiny, brand new quarter that the little boy had swallowed. The lady's terribly thankful for what he's just done, and she says, "Oh, thank you so much. You were just what I needed. You knew exactly what to do. Are you a doctor?" He said, "No, ma'am, I work for the IRS. He didn't have any problem getting the money out. Do any of you ever feel that way this time of year? You know, it is tax season after all. I think we got an extension that we don't have to have our stuff in until Tuesday, but that doesn't do anything but just postpone the inevitable of paying, filing those taxes. It does feel like sometimes that the IRS is able to get every penny out of us, doesn't it? I know it does for me." This passage, though, that I read to you from Matthew isn't really about taxes, though. You see, the Pharisees, who were the ones posing this question to Jesus, were trying to trick Jesus or trap Jesus into making some kind of inflammatory statement, something that they could hold against him. You know, surely he would either say something that they could take to the Roman officials and condemn him for, or either something that they could hold Jews and their allegiance to God and hold it against him there. But Jesus gave them the perfect answer because he knew their hearts and he knew what they were trying to do. But taxes wasn't the real issue. See, the real issue in this passage is just who is it that's number one in your life? Who is it that's most important, or what is it that's at the most important thing in your life? For Jesus, he was saying to the people there and to us today that you can be loyal to the state and be loyal to the kingdom of God. You simply have to know the order of importance. You have to know which is the most important. For the early Christians, the very earliest Christians, this same issue was one of the most important things that they dealt with. From the beginning of the faith, the issue that we as followers of Christ have constantly been faced with is, who is it that's the boss? Who's the boss of our lives? Now I want to read to you two passages from Acts, chapter 4, 17 through 21. And this is after Peter and John had been imprisoned or had been arrested. But so that it spreads no further, this is what the Sanhedrin, the ruling body, is saying to him, "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Then in chapter 5, verse 27 through 32, again, they are on trial before the Sanhedrin. They didn't listen to them that previous time. They're back in trouble again. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." See, the real problem that the apostles faced and that you and I face each day is not over loyalty to the state, to the government, in paying taxes or obeying their laws. Jesus had made it plain that it was possible to do both of those, to be a good Roman or a good American or a good whatever nationality anyone might be, and to be a Christian. It was possible to do both. The real problem for the apostles was one of loyalty to the religious structure or to God. The orders they were getting here in this passage of Scripture were coming from the religious folk. It wasn't coming from Rome, from Caesar, from Pilate, the proconsul there in Judea. It was from the religious folks. They were being told what to do by the religious folk. Who is the boss, folks? God or the church? Or God or me? Who is the boss? For us to answer that question, there are three things that we have to realize. The first is that we must realize the situation as it is. And the situation is that life faces us with claims on to whom we will be loyal. Life faces us with claims upon our loyalty. Who is it that you are loyal to? What is it that calls for your loyalty? What is most important in your life? Is God the most important thing in your life? Is church the most important thing in your life? Is job most important in your life? Is family most important in your life? We are constantly bombarded with things that call for our loyalty. You know, it's so easy in a commercial world in which we live that our loyalty is in the almighty dollar, and in the power to buy and to spend and to have and to be able to consume the goods that there are available to us. It's amazing what we have available to us in that respect. And folks, when you are so consumed with what you can have and what you don't have, that can become your God, and your loyalty can be to that end, to acquire and have and consume. That can tear us spiritually apart. That desire to have and want to acquire and be and put all of our position and stature and importance be placed upon material things. We have to realize that our loyalty cannot be divided from God. You know, it can't be divided to the worldly things. There's nothing wrong with working and having a job and saving money and having things that are needed and things that you even want. But it can't be the first and most important thing in your life. Jesus, God demands to be first in our lives. You know something else? You can't have the church as being first in your life. Now, don't anybody faint when I say that. But the church is God's instrument in the world, and the church cannot be first. If the church is first, see, that's what the Pharisees did. They put their religion first. If we just put church first, then we're putting religion first and the practice of it and the formality of it. But what we have to do is to put a relationship with the Savior first. Many times that will mean, as we live out our lives, that we do put church first in the things that are going on in church. But not always. Church is not the most important thing. Church sometimes can get in the way of a relationship to Jesus Christ because we depend upon doing. And as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, in checking off certain things off our list, I didn't do this, I'm not a murderer, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a liar, I'm not a thief. So we check all those things off, but yet we forget about those things what we should be doing, such as living in the Spirit and living a life that produces the fruits of the Spirit, like kindness and gentleness and meekness and humility and love. Instead of checking off things, we need to be living in the Spirit. It can be a loyalty divided just by putting church first. Life faces us with claims upon our loyalty. There are many things that can derail that loyalty and cause conflict in our lives. The second thing that we must realize is the complication of that situation. We can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve, according to Jesus' words, God or mammon, God or wealth. You cannot serve both. You're going to love one and hate the other, despise one and worship the other. You can't do both, folks. You can balance them. You can put God first, but He has to be first. Our loyalty cannot be divided. You cannot worship possessions, things, wealth, money, and also worship God. The two are not compatible. God has to be first in all things. We cannot serve two masters, and the master we may choose may be the wrong one. You know, we will have a master in our life, whether it's wealth, whether it's position, whether it's family, whether it's religion. All of those things can be masters of our lives. The desire to have, the desire to be. But we have to put God first. We have to have only one master. Jesus demands no less than total allegiance to Him. We can't have it both ways. The third thing is that we must realize there is a solution to the complication of the situation. There is a solution to the complication of that situation. We must obey God first and let that commitment determine all other loyalties. If you obey God, you're not going to go wrong. I don't care what you're doing. If you are in obedience to God, all of those other things are going to take care of themselves. All of those other needs and worries and concerns will be taken care of. They may not be taken care of the way you think they should be taken care of, but they will be taken care of. Those concerns that take so much of our time and energy will become less important as Christ becomes more important. Obey God first. And how do we obey God? I don't know His will, you say. I don't understand all that God wants. Well, you don't have to have some kind of mystical connection with God and hear some kind of voice off in the distance and in the future to know God's will on everything. Certainly, we don't know God's will on everything. We don't understand His will on everything because we are sinners. We're human beings and we're in the world. But you do have His Word here. And if you will but do those things that the Word says, that are in black and white here, that we have plainly before us, that we have been taught from our youth, that is preached on week in, week out, and taught in Sunday school, and sung about in hymns, and prayed for, if we will just do those things, those very things, all of those other loyalties and all of those other things that tear us, to pull us, and weigh us down, they will all take care of themselves. We must realize that the solution to the complication that comes from our divided loyalties and the pull of the world, we must realize that the solution is Jesus Christ. No other. It's not a partial obedience to Him. It's not obedience to Him on Sunday morning. It's not obedience to Him on Wednesday night. It's not obedience to Him in 2 minutes of prayer to Him every day, but it's obedience to Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, am I saying that you're going to be perfect and that you're never going to make a mistake? Absolutely not. Because we will all make mistakes and we will all fall short. We will all disappoint Him. But what it does mean is that we can make that effort and that we can put Jesus first and we can live our lives accordingly. This morning, as we close, I want you to know that if you've not put your trust in Jesus Christ, that if He has not been the solution to the situation you have found yourself in, to all the complications of your life, that you can do so today and that you can leave from here as people redeemed and unburdened and set free from the bonds of sin and the cares of this world. Jesus' solution for us is not just here today, but is for all eternity. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that You will open our hearts to Your leading, that You will help us to see the solution to our situation. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that the solution is You. Our situations are all different to some degree, but Your love surpasses, Your forgiveness surpasses all those differences, and is the answer. Lord, come to us, speak to us, draw us to You. In Christ we pray. Amen.